what's next? And I mean that honestly, what are we doing next? What is the next episode?
It's really hard to see past tomorrow.
Yes. Tomorrow being the first day of school, we're back.
You know, that dream, that nightmare, if you will, about like going to your final exam and not being prepared for it.
Yes.
I feel like I'm living that dream a little bit right now.
Had that for my first 3 years, every year, the day before school. But no, seriously, what are we doing next episode? We have to figure that out before we start recording.
I'm Hunter Pence, and you're listening to the Misplay Podcast. Oh, yeah.
Hello, and welcome to the Misplay, where we always reverse the last two colors in our new game. My name is Mark.
My name is Jason. That game is great. Speed colors. I love it. You got it at Gen Con?
I've been playing it with everybody who I can sit down to take 3 minutes to teach and play with at work.
Explain it really quick for people.
Speed colors is a working memory game where you recreate a colorful image using one marker at a time to race your friends while they do theirs.
I'm terrible at it, but it is so much fun. In fact, I just bought it. I just bought it for my classroom. I really like it. Nice find at Gen Con.
It's going to be one of the central pieces of my curriculum at the beginning of the year. Shout out to Leonie from Biome, because it was Leonie who introduced me to the folks at Friendly Skeleton, who sat me down and demoed the game with me. They're the ones who make it.
Where are we?
We're back from Gen Con.
Yes.
We're going back to work.
Yes.
And we're staying on our recording schedule.
Yes.
It's very stressful.
Yeah.
But we're in a spot where we are going to be moving forward with kind of the reflecting, replanning, re-strategizing that we've done in light of being at Gen Con. And today we're going to be pitching and talking about different possibilities for Nightmare Smashers.
Say it right.
Nightmare Smashers.
No. Nightmare Smashers.
Oh. Nightmare Smashers.
That was good. Is that on theme with your game? Every game that we're going to present is going to have like a slightly different feel. Mine might be Nightmare Smashers.
Yeah, I don't think, I'm not sure like the soundbite for what mine would be. You'll have to help me come up with it after you hear my like pitch description.
I have a slogan for mine. Did you do any prep?
I have game mechanics, an end game state, some rough sketches of what the mechanics and phases of the game look like, and an art description.
Yeah.
And like your ambiance thing that you'd like put on the box to like sell it to people. I have okay. That.
All right. Yeah. You've done some work. I don't know if I've done that much. We'll see.
I'm really curious to see how much variance there is between the three games, because we'll also be talking about Peter's. I got a chance to sit down with him and go through his version. So I'll be sharing the bullet points from his version also.
Yeah. I think it's just a really cool exercise where the three of us set out to build a game just called Nightmare Smashers. It can go anywhere after that, but it's just like a fun exercise to do to see what other people would come up with. It's like all of us writing a story and just, you know, it has to have Mark being run over by a taxi cab. Then we all have different stories.
Yeah.
So I couldn't think of a better example.
In mine, Jason gets left behind in Dream World.
Before we start, this week's episode is brought to you by Board Game Casual. Board Game Casual is a YouTube channel welcoming people into the board game hobby with video reviews, recommendations, unboxings, tips for accessorizing on a budget, and more. Board Game Casual just celebrated their one-year anniversary with a month of themed content, including my two favorite episodes, a blooper and outtake show, you know how important those are to me, and a Q&A. And I was really blown away with all of the questions they received and how well their community engages with them. So check out their content at Board Game Casual on YouTube, at Board Game Casual channel. What are we working on?
Nightmare Smashers.
Nice. Is that on theme with Peter's?
Probably somewhere between Peter's and mine.
Because we're going to talk about Peter's first.
Okay.
I have no idea what your game is, let alone what Peter's game is. I'm really just going to be enjoying listening to this.
Nightmare Smashers, the Peter version.
The pitch.
Nightmare Smashers is a game where players take the role of lucid dreamers battling nightmares which have taken root in ruined and haunted locations in a small town. Players gather resources and learn about nightmares during the day phase and battle both lesser and greater mares during the night phase using a kind of magic called dream logic. The game ends after 7 nights, or all the greater mares are defeated. The The player who smashes the most nightmares wins the game.
Okay. Dream logic. I don't know what it is, like, but I like it.
Peter's art description is if Salvador Dali drew nightmares.
Okay, I can see that.
Muted colors, distorted perspectives.
Wow, so different than like my art description. Like these cards are going to be completely different.
Also very different from mine. Features of the game. There's a two-sided board. There's a day side and a night side for the board. The board flips. There's an extra, like a tableau almost, that things will populate on so that when you're flipping the board, you're not having to like lose pieces. All of the pieces that are required to keep track of will be on this extra sideboard. There's no persistent data beyond character tokens. And then there's a player data game mat. So that will track your cards accumulated. It tracks your logic powers that you accrue. It will track your inventory, your nightmare abilities. There are three different kinds of dream logic cards. And there are fear and event zones. There are dark, monstrous, and confinement zones.
Peter has like really thought about this.
Peter's game is like a role-playing game in board game form. Okay. I would envision it would probably play out similar to the D&D style or...
Adventure Party.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my game from Gen Con. I was going to mention it later too.
Okay. There will be player progression where your dream logic gets more powerful as the game goes on. But there's a catch. As you get more powerful in a particular dream logic, you become more vulnerable to negative effects during the day side of the board within those territories. So if you're really powerful at dark dream logic, you are more susceptible to bad things happening to you in dark zones during the day.
And I should add, Mark, you talked to Peter as well. Not only did he share the document with you, but you talked to him about his pitch and his game.
Yeah, so the summary that I am presenting is a summary that I wrote while we were talking to make sure that I caught the important things for the game.
Good work.
Thanks. So players will acquire new powers by going through different locations during the day phase. And that also increases the number of cards you have access to expend or burn at night. And then the player mats on your like player scorecard, you'll be able to track the raw scores for your dream logic to know how powerful your effects are. The gameplay. Games end after 7 nights. And that's a cycle of a day and a night side of the board.
Okay.
So there will be 7 cycles of playing on both sides of the board. The game ends if the greater nightmare is defeated or at the end of those 7 nights. During night, players can move or confront nightmares. And during those phases, that's when they'll burn or spend their dream logic cards. During the day phase, players explore and move, draw events, and collect cards. And the cards you collect are what power your dream logic. So that's where we got to. That's a little bit of the taste of Nightmare Smashers, the Peter edition.
Summarize the gameplay for me, though. Like, just explain it like I'm 5. How do I play the game?
Day phase.
Yep.
You move around and collect resources.
Yep.
Board flips over to night phase. You move around and fight nightmares.
I like it flipping.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah, there's like a physical flipping component to his design.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, I had also considered something like that. My original version, like the child game version,
yeah,
was going to have a disc that flipped.
I like the phrase dream logic. How does it work?
So it's dream logic works as it's a score that you have as your player. So you'll have a dream logic score for the 3 categories of dream logic, dark, monster, and confinement.
Yep.
So during the course of the game, those scores will increase, which will mean like your dark powers become more powerful.
Ah.
So you build your powers during the day, and then at night you use your powers to fight the nightmares.
It's cool.
It feels very much like a microcosm of a tabletop role-playing game that Peter would run in a board game format that I think is well distilled into a board game.
Yeah. Not a kid's game.
No.
Because initially, when we brought up Nightmare Smashers months ago, one of the things we said was, it sounds like a kid's game, and that's not what we wanted to build. This was not a kid's game.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think not from the iconography and not from the complexity of what I imagine the gameplay would be like.
Yeah. This game seems smart. This game seems like you'll be able to make some cool decisions.
I think that's
one of the things we've talked about, right? We want to make decisions and we want decisions that matter. And I love the flipping component of the board.
The thing I really liked about Peter's game within this like microcosm of a tabletop role-playing experience that he condensed is I do think that the game really captures the feeling of an adventuring party together. there are some pictures of the board that maybe we can find a way to post, but you can very much feel the sense of like wandering out into these dangerous places. And, you know, when you like go with a friend versus when you go by yourself, you can have that kind of push and pull that exists in tabletop role-playing games, like when the party splits up and everybody jokes like, aha, they split up, now everybody's going to die. The way the exploration of the board works, the way that dream logic works and progresses in a way that feels consistent with a tabletop role-playing game, it will just feel like a very familiar and board gamer accessible way to enter into a tabletop role-playing space, I think. All right, you've been so secretive, Jason. You keep telling me, don't look at my version, I'm not looking at yours, don't tell me what's going on with Peter's. What have you got for us? Nightmare Smashers, the Jason version.
We're having fun. This isn't a five-hour game of Game of Thrones or a game of Catan where I refuse to trade out of principle. We're having fun. I did a lot of reflection the last couple of weeks, and I realized a lot of the times I'm playing board games, like, I'm not having fun. My wife notices it. She's like, why do you look like that? I'm like, I'm trying to do math. I'm trying to figure out what she's doing. I'm trying to, you know, figure out how to counter that. What is Mark going to do in two turns? Why do I keep playing two top cards in Gloomhaven? Why can't I? Like, I've just not been having a lot of fun. I've been playing board games, but it hasn't felt fun to me. And I'm going to go back to Gen Con, mentioned earlier, that game Adventure Party. It's a dungeon crawler style of game where there's an event and it's like, oh, there's a dragon there in front of you. And then what happens is one character starts by rolling a die, a 20-sided die. And based on that number, they then describe their action towards, you know, the dragon, whatever it is. Like, so if I rolled a one, I would be like, oh, I pulled out my sword and I started running towards the dragon, but then I tripped and my shoelaces were untied and I fell to the ground and the dragon looked down at me. And then everybody else has got to guess what the number on the dice is. And there's points based on that, you know? So I think the tricky zone is if you roll like a 10 or 11 in that middle zone. But it was really fun, whether, you know, you were going to tell something heroic that you did or something like that you bumbled, something that you messed up. So I want to have fun. And I realize that sometimes you just want to, you know, raffle lollicopters. Like you just want to like, just have fun playing the game. So
Can you say that again? Raffle lollicopters?
Raffle lollicopters. Yeah. You didn't type that like in AOL chat rooms or AOL instant message, AOL away messages?
No, I had to ask my sister's friends what those things meant.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll look it up later. So with a little help from Dan W., D-Dub from The Misplay, I present my version of Nightmare Smashers, which I call kind of Munchkin combined with Apples to Apples. The idea here is you're going to smash your nightmares. It's simple. A monster is going to come out from under the bed, and you don't fight or destroy or kill it. You just have to make it less frightening. And I'm going to lead with the best example, and this was all Dan. Mark, imagine a T-Rex appears as the monster, right? Out from under the bed comes a monster. What could you do to make it less frightening, Mark?
Put a Frisbee in its hands.
Frisbee's good. That's good. I have give it balloons. This was Dan's idea. Like, if there was a T-Rex with his tiny hands, right? Can you imagine, like, you hand it balloons and so the T-Rex is standing in front of you with balloons. That's less frightening. That's smashing your nightmare. You're not scaring me with your balloons.
It's cute.
I talked about it with Mike C. while we were at Gen Con. He's like, Nightmare Smashers is a kid's game. You have to come up with a kid's game. He's like, there's no way around it. Nightmare Smashers is a kid's game. And he had like a really interesting idea where it would be a like teaching tool to teach kids about nightmares. Like that's a whole nother game. This isn't a kid's game. This is an everybody game. So two phases. There's a night and a day and there's 8 rounds. You need 8 hours of sleep. I liked what Peter did with 7. At first, when you said 7, I was like, I sleep 8 hours. Like, that's the goal. Why would you do 7? But he's got 7 days.
Yep.
So mine is 8 hours of sleep, 8 rounds. So during the day, what's going to happen is you're going to draft cards, right? So we love draft, right? We want to make it something we really enjoy. And then during the night, you're going to play them down on your tableau in front of you. And they'll be asymmetrical characters. So every character will have like a slightly different ability. Then there's two ways to win. There is a fear counter. And the goal is not to let your fear counter reach a set number. And then we have another way to win. And this is the apples to apples piece, where after every round, you're going to vote for the person that had the most creative or like the funniest. Oh, I really like that Mark gave the T-Rex a frisbee. So you can win on two metrics. It's fun. Everybody wins except for Mark. I'm still trying to marry some ideas together. Like, for example, I don't want the nightmares to just be monsters, right? That's not what scares me. Like, I'd like to have like things people can really connect to, like falling. I think falling is a good example. Like, people have this dream of falling. And my wife had a really good card to try to put with it. She's like, you put a bouncy house down. Fall in the bouncy house. But I want to make sure that the bouncy house also plays with the monsters, right? So that there's synergy.
I feel like you create the synergy in the way that you tell the story, right? Like, you put down the T-Rex comes out, and it is the obligation of the players around to create the story that they tell for why they put their card, right?
Yeah, I like that.
Like, in apples to apples, in that style of game, you try to defend your answer.
Yeah. So there needs to be some level of numbers. I don't know the specifics about how, right? T-Rex, let's say T-Rex is 5 fear, right? What does putting balloons in T-Rex's hands do? I honestly don't know the answer yet, but it does something. It reduces it for sure. I don't know how that works yet. I feel like I didn't come up with my own art, but there is a game out there that matches exactly what I want. So if I was going to an artist, I would say, just make it like King of Tokyo. I really want the monster in action, bright, vivid colors. It's not realistic. There's simple text, modern font, and same with the board that you would have in front of you, the tableau where you're playing your cards and keeping your fear counter. Nightmare smashers, turn your scares into cheers. Okay.
I really want it to rhyme and it just doesn't.
He didn't like my slogan. I'm working on it.
Turn your fears into cheers.
Yeah, that's better. Nightmare smashers, turn your fears into cheers.
Nice.
Yeah, that's better.
That's why we work as a team.
There you go.
Tell me more about the tableau.
So my tableau would be whatever your character is. It would have whatever the character ability is. It would be printed on the tableau. There would be the fear counter for you to track your fear. There would be some way for you to vote at the end of the round for somebody, based on whoever had the funniest. And then there's what I'm imagining is 3 spots that you can put down your cards. And I don't want it to be like hands, like this is what you put on the, because I think that's really limiting. I think there's got to be like 3 different categories where you can set something down to affect the nightmare in front of you. And so, you know, with falling, there's no hands, right? So 3 different categories where you would place your cards. That's my game.
I really like this one.
Yeah.
It's cool. I really do think of you as kind of like the social game person among the friends that I play with.
Yeah.
Like, you know, Peter is my tabletop role-playing game friend. I have other friends who are...
Yeah, the ones you don't invite me to. Yeah, yeah, that one. Yeah, okay.
I have other friends that I play like actual, more like more traditional board games. I guess you do invite me to play Frosthaven, but I'm not going to come play Frosthaven.
One day.
But like, I have friends that I play like more traditional board game with. And like, you're the social game person, you play Among Us, you like Mafia, we've played Coup.
Yeah, yeah.
So like that, I think that genre really suits you.
Nouns in a bag.
I really like this.
Nice.
It's interesting to me that I remember when we did the original pitches and you were like, Mark, you made 2 card games, you have to make a board game. And Nightmare Smashers was my answer to, here's my board game.
Yes.
So it's interesting to me now that yours is... Of the 3, when I share mine, yours is the least board game of the board games that we'll talk about today.
Yeah.
But I think that's okay because you've presented other ideas that are more board games than things that I've done, because I've done word games, I've done card games, I've done everything but board games. So here tonight, you get an actual board game with a board from me.
Did I surprise you with the direction I went?
A little bit, because again, I was really expecting your interest in making a game has been, Mark asked to be a board game.
Yeah.
Not a card game, not a video game, not a role-playing game, board game.
Yeah.
So but a reasonable departure.
Okay. Let's hear the third game. Let's hear your game.
All right. I do think my version, I will go with the whisper. Nightmare Smashers.
Nice.
You and your fellow dreamers find yourselves deep asleep and lost in dreamland. The deeper you fall, the more murky and dark the dreamscape becomes. The land changes as you and your fellow dreamers wander further and further into the depths of the dream world. You collectively realize that you no longer know the way back to the waking world. As panic sets in and the possibility that you will never find your way home, you abandon wandering together and begin to race to find your way home, with or without your fellow dreamers. Nightmare Smashers pits you and your fellow dreamers in a race against the clock, and possibly a race against each other, to climb the stairs of the dream world back to the light and safety of the waking world.
Love the pitch. I love that description. Like, I can see it on, like, whether it's the box or, you know, the start of the rule book. That is cool.
My art description, the board and nightmares are represented by black and gray for the nightmare world, like pencil and charcoal style drawing and shading for the nightmares and the spaces on the board they walk. You have Nightmare Smasher tools in this game, and those are going to be like very bright, vibrant colors to get a good contrast and have some childlike visuals or iconography, a music box, a blanket, a flashlight. And then the other component feature of the game are the stairs that you're going to use to build your way out. And those are going to be like a really vibrant white. Again, this like big high contrast, because the stairs are the promise of hope that you get to go home.
Oh, is it like a physical thing you build, or is the stairs on the board?
It's a physical thing you're going to build. So the objective of the game is to build an escape path from the nightmare depths of the dream world back to the waking world. And you'll use these white tiles to build your stairs, and you have to use a key. So you'll have to open a door from dream world to the waking world. So I also, like you and Peter, had a day and a night phase. In the day phase, it's a worker placement style kind of game. So you'll be placing aspects of yourself to do the following things. You will use your worker placement to gather Nightmare Smasher tools. You'll use nightmare coins to buy waking steps. You will divide your psyche into more dream workers. You will forge keys to unlock new abilities, and you'll forge a waking key to escape at the top of the stairs.
I love all the terms you have. It's great.
There was a moment where I was thinking about it last night, and I was like, oh, it's like this building game where you go up. And then I was like, it doesn't have the flavor. The flavor has to come in somewhere. And so today I spent the time like applying some vocabulary to the game to make it feel more like a nightmare-y dream thing. In the night phase, you will use Nightmare Smasher tools to overcome your nightmares and collect the currency. You will build with the waking steps. You'll lay traps to protect your stairways from nightmares on the next round. And you can lay traps to delay your fellow dreamers.
Oh, I wasn't sure if it was cooperative. Now I know.
It's not. Okay. It's more of a PvP kind of game.
Yeah.
The objective is to be the first one to make a waking key, build a staircase that gets you to the door, and leave.
Go on.
That's kind of it.
I'm picturing your game. Like, I'm really picturing your game. I like all the descriptors you used, where you're creating this. So you said it was a like physical set of stairs. You're actually like, the pieces are like making something on the board?
Yes. At Gen Con, I saw a lot of tile laying games.
Yeah.
And I thought that was it's a style of game that I haven't played a lot of, but we played Dawn of Ulos.
Yes.
And that had the tile laying component. And then I got to watch Leonie play another game, and it had a tile laying component where you kind of like you're building your own honeycomb.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, that's really cool. So I was like, oh, what else can you do with tile laying? And I was like, well, if you build up, that can be like a means of transporting yourself or a means of moving, as opposed to just a means of generating resources or building a map for yourself.
I love that you went worker placement. I wouldn't have guessed that. That threw me, because I don't know. I don't see you playing a lot of worker placement games, but
one of my favorites that I have played with some of my other board gaming friends is a worker placement game that I really enjoy. I want to play more of them because I don't have a good sense of how they play and how they work in order to make one that would meet the need of this game. But that idea of using your like dream self to construct your way out was very appealing to me.
Is there like a, you had said there's a day and there, you had said there's a day and a night phase. Are they the same board, split board? What is the, because you get your tools in your day phase and then I use them at night. How do I use them now?
I think I had started to envision it as separate boards. Originally, I was imagining a raised board where like you'd have a pillar in the middle and you'd have spokes coming off of it. And it was going to be like a pegboard where you'd like put your workers in the day side. And then at night, the board flips, your pegs stay, and then you would play on your night side.
Oh, that's expensive. It sounds expensive.
It does sound expensive. So probably
cool.
Probably not the direction we're going to go for the game. But I'm envisioning a day board where you like lay your workers as your worker placement thing, and then a night board where you build. So it would be a little bit more set up, but it would be two separate boards. You do your worker placement on the day board, and then you do your building and monster fighting on the night board.
I really like the direction you went, because I was really stuck in this Nightmare Smashers where like in my head, it was always like, in my head, it was, you know, a monster comes into your dream and you have to get rid of it. And so like all of the variations I was coming up with were still like very much that. And you kind of just took like the theme of dreams and crafted a board game around that rather than thinking about this thing comes out at you and you have to get it. You have to stop it. And the next round, another thing's going to come out at you. So I like that you were on theme with the game.
I took a little bit of inspiration from, like I said, the tile placing games that we saw and played at Gen Con, but there was another game. You know how you talked about you wanted to find like your game for the year? I found a game in some of the time that I got to wander by myself at Gen Con, and it was called The Night Cage. It was a cooperative game, and it was built on this idea of you and your fellow players are holding candles in an ever-changing labyrinth. And as you move, you can only see one adjacent tile at a time. And so when you move, all the tiles that you take out of the light disappear. I didn't pull the trigger on buying it, but it's in a bunch of my shopping carts online that when I feel the moment is right, I'm going to pull the trigger on buying this game. But I took a little bit of that for the building component too.
I remember getting the text at some point you were looking for somebody to demo it with you.
I'm still very enamored with that game.
Well, Mark, they all sound great. I would want to explore all three of these games.
We'll add it to our strategic planning document.
That is going to be. So let's talk about what's next.
I think last time we described it as Gen Con was a little bit of an eye-opening experience, or did you say reality check?
Both.
Gen Con revealed a lot about the scope of this project to us in terms of the quality of products that are out there, even in like the playtest room that we got to go see, the quality and the level of detail with which games were being presented in those spaces. So one of the things that we talked about in our reflections on the show and outside of the show, how we're organizing ourselves, what our mission is, what the vision is. And after revising those a little bit, coming back in a way that allows us to continue the podcast, because we're not going to like stop recording. We want to continue making games, but we also want to guide our thinking and find ways to steer the process in a way that's going to take us to the places that we want to go, which will require some revision of our vision, revision of the mission, and a little bit more thought about what kinds of processes we need to get there.
You're back on the business track now. You're talking business, Mark. That's all business. It's all business. Strategic planning, road mapping.
It's true.
Make it in Google Sheets, right?
I would argue it's not strictly a business thing. Like, I would argue this is an educational thing also.
I mean, you don't got to argue. Jeez.
No, but
just
I mean,
podcast, we're just two guys.
I don't believe that's true.
Stop it. You're wrong.
Once upon a time, Jason told me the foundation of our friendship was I say something preposterous and then Mark disagrees.
Yes.
We've come full circle.
I know it's not just the business thing. The one thing that I want to add to what's next is we've put these three games out there. I would love to get some feedback. Board Game Casual gets a lot of feedback. I'd love to get a little bit of feedback. I'm hoping that we'll get some feedback from people. And maybe what we do is we create three channels in Discord for Nightmare Smashers and create threads for each game where people can talk about the different variations of the games to give us some feedback on them. And, you know, I'm curious what other people will think of our three versions of Nightmare Smashers. I also think I need a little time to think about our games, right? I just heard about them 10 minutes ago, 15 minutes ago. So I wanna think more on them, and I'll probably have some additional thoughts or questions that I wanna ask you or I wanna ask Peter. While we are working on the road mapping, getting ready to talk about that, in the background, let's just try to think about our games and maybe we elicit some feedback from the team and from the community in Discord.
Sounds good. And then maybe in 4 weeks, we take some of the strategic planning and things that we're going to talk about in the next show and do a little bit of, I don't want to say like concrete planning for how we would build Nightmare Smashers, but continue to use Nightmare Smashers as the case study that would inform, like, if we were going to move forward with one of them, how would we apply the things from our strategic plan and that revision process to the development of Nightmare Smashers?
Yep. Let's do it. Let's go.
Hype.
He looked around when he said that. Really built it up.
The Misplay Podcast is brought to you by Mike C., Missy, JP Savard, Parney, Kyle Flowers, Oddjoes, Brian, Bins, and Peter. Consider donating at patreon.com/themisplay. If you'd like to become a featured sponsor of the show, find our FAQ in Discord. Gen Con revealed a lot to us about...
you were fine. I was just messing with you.
Gen Con revealed a lot of...
That one's enough.
It hurts.